The timeless theme, earth and heaven, will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, and no more tears, never crying again.
Thank you very much. Thank God for what we have to look forward to in Jesus Christ. The alternative is not worth talking about. Open your Bible today to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me say again that I sure do encourage you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock and be a part of the testimony or hear the testimony and see the presentation of Miss Pope. A young lady who's felt God's touch on her life. She's gone through many, many valleys and tough times to get to the place she's at now. And I want you to come and hear what God has done in her and for her, preparing her for the journey she's on now. you'll be blessed, I promise you. If you found your place, stand with me as we begin to read in verse number 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." That's the saved he's talking about. Reserved in heaven for you. Heaven, our inheritance, is already reserved and waiting. Talking about the saved who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days or last time. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." I want us to go back to verse number 8 this morning for the basis of our message, talking about Jesus, whom having not seen, ye love. Do you love Him this morning? I've never seen Him personally. I've seen Him through eyes of faith. I've seen Him through the pages of the Bible. I've seen Him as He has dealt spiritually in my life. But I've never looked upon His face or touched His nail-scarred hands except by faith. But oh, how I love Him. "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." I want to speak on this subject this morning. How to be so happy you can't explain it. How to be so happy you can't explain it. Now listen to me. These people were going through fiery trials. They were going through severe persecution. People were being burned nightly in Nero's garden. Christians were under attack. But in spite of the circumstances, because of their relationship with Jesus Christ, they had a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And may I say to you that the Christian's happiness is not defined by fun and hilarity. It's defined by joy and peace, regardless of our circumstances. This morning, I want to tell you how you can have that and be so happy in Christ you can't explain it. Father, help me today as I bring this message. Use it to touch our hearts, stir our souls, and bring each of us who are saved to a closer and a right relationship with you. There's some Christians here today that need to get baptized. First thing you ask us to do after we're saved is to obey you in believer's baptism. Help them to do that today. There are some Christians who are seeking you and your leadership concerning a place where they are to worship, a church home. Would you give guidance and leadership to them today? And if this be that place, would you tug at their heartstrings and let them know that this is your will for their life and help them to come Then, Father, there's some here that are unsaved today. I'm asking you to bring great conviction upon their heart about their lost condition, their need of a Savior, and give them faith and courage to turn to Jesus Christ today. Though they've never seen Him, they'll trust Him. They'll believe upon Him and accept Him as their Savior. And then, Father, there are people here today who are miserable in their Christian life. They're looking for happiness, but they don't know what happiness is. And where they're looking, where they're looking is not going to bring happiness. They're looking in the wrong places and for the wrong things. Lord, do a work in us today, and may God get glory and sinners get saved and lives be changed. We'll thank you in advance for every decision made in Jesus' name. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. I love that statement. How that, though not now ye see Him not, yet believing, ye have joy unspeakable and full of glory. About 26 years ago, we all watched the fairy tale marriage of a beautiful young girl to the Prince of England, a commoner, a school teacher, a nanny became Her Royal Highness, Prince of Wales. They were married and they lived unhappily ever after. She died tragically trying to find happiness. This world is filled with unhappy people who spend their lives searching for happiness and fulfillment, and most of which will never find it. The searching person is looking for happiness. They may call it by another name, but it all boils down to their desire for that something called happiness. Let me say very plainly that most have the wrong concept of happiness. They think it comes from money or fame or fun. And God's not against any of those if they are obtained properly. Happiness in the Christian's life is called in our text verse, joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Dallas Cowboys coach Tom Landry said, "When we find happiness, we'll quit looking." Why are you still searching? Because you're still looking for that something or someone that can bring that joy unspeakable and full of glory in your heart. Most people are looking for happiness in the wrong places. A teenager can't wait to leave home so they can find happiness. And then they find out all the responsibilities and the problems and the pitfalls of life. Didn't realize how well they had it at home, being a teenager. Let me tell you right now, young people, the place in life where you have more liberty and less pressure than you'll ever have any other time in your life is in your teenage years at home. Quit fighting against it. Quit fighting against mom and dad. Enjoy your home if you have a good home. A young man or woman cheats on their marriage partner, hoping they can find happiness that they have been missing. But what they find in their cheating is guilt and confusion, shame, heartaches, and tears. Another family moves across America thinking that a better paying job will provide happiness. Happiness is not financial, nor is it geographical. The same problems that are bothering us now and hindering us now will be in our new location and at our new job. Christians will jump up and change churches, thinking a different church can provide happiness. They're running from their problems. The truth is, they're not running from their problems. They're running with their problems because the problems are in here. At the new church, they'll discover that the problem was not the preacher after all. It was not the youth director. It was not the church and its program. It was a problem within them. People today, just like days gone by, are believing the devil's lie and are accepting his gift-wrapped garbage as their way to real happiness. Don't you forget, the devil's a liar. He's a deceiver. His gift-wrapped garbage is the devil's substitute for real joy, real peace, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And what the world and the devil has to offer only brings more misery. It certainly doesn't bring happiness. Let me tell you first of all this morning in our message where you will not find happiness. You'll not find happiness in material possessions. Now, God's not against material possessions. But material possessions will not fill that longing, that emptiness, that lack of joy and peace and happiness that's in you today. We're a stuff-oriented people. We're building buildings to store our stuff, and we're renting storage bins to store our stuff. The number one fastest growing business in America is storage compartments for stuff. Material possessions will not bring happiness. Solomon was the wealthiest man of his day. When he came to the end of his life, he declared that all of his wealth could not bring happiness. He said, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." He said, "All of this is worthless." I'm taking care of that emptiness in here. No, you're not going to find happiness in material possessions. Solomon felt that he could be happy if all of his sexual appetites could be fulfilled. So he married 700 wives and had 300 concubines. I think he went a little overboard, don't you? Man, one's been more than I can deal with. It's been a joy trying. But these 700 wives and 300 concubines, one little boy said he had 700 wives and 300 porcupines. Well, I bet he felt like with 700 wives and 300 concubines, they were all porcupines. They certainly didn't bring him happiness. But instead, they brought great confusion and heartache. For the Bible tells us they turned his heart away from God. And God is our source of true happiness. We're shown plainly from Scripture that satisfaction and fulfillment of fleshly desires cannot bring happiness. That young prodigal that wanted to be away from the restrictions of his father and went out into the far country and lived a very sensual lifestyle ended up in the hog pen, alone, broke, hungry, dirty, and miserable. And he found no happiness till he returned to the Father and got right about sin. We cannot find true happiness in religion, as shown by the Ethiopian and Nicodemus. The Ethiopian came from Ethiopia to Jerusalem to go to church. He is reading the Bible, but he had that emptiness. He had no peace. He had no happiness. Religion cannot fill that empty spot that's in our life. Nicodemus was a religious man and a leader and a teacher of the Jews, but he had that empty spot, no happiness, no joy unspeakable and full of glory. They never knew that joy until they knew Jesus. King Saul teaches us that happiness does not come with power. Though he was king over Israel and stood head and shoulders above anyone else in his country, he was filled with misery and jealousy. He didn't know true happiness. Certainly there must be a source for happiness. In our text today, we're told that it's possible to be so happy we can't explain it. While the Bible says that even with the trials of our faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So let me get to the meat of my message. How can you be so happy that you can't explain it? Well, let me say very plainly, you got to stop looking everywhere else and turn to Jesus Christ and Him alone. For Christ alone is the source of joy, peace, and happiness. When we turn to Jesus, we can be assured, first of all, that our sins will be forgiven. You see, my dear friend, that burden that we bear, that darkness we feel, that hurt we have to deal with is because of sin in our life. Whether it be in sin in the life of an unsaved person, or it be a Christian that's gotten out of the will of God and has sin in their life, that sin short circuits our spiritual life. It drains away the joy and the peace. It brings misery and confusion. And we're never going to get relief from that until we turn to Jesus Christ, who loved us and died for us on that old rugged cross. There and there alone, in Christ, can our sins be forgiven. The Bible says in 1 John 1 verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. I can't tell you how many people who have knelt at these altars trusting Christ and have gotten up and said, I feel like a weight has been lifted. And it has. The weight of sin and its condemnation. Oh, thank God, when we turn to Jesus, our sins will be forgiven. The Bible says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we turn to Jesus, we can be assured our sins will be forgiven. We can be assured our guilt will be conquered. You don't have to live with guilt because of past sins. God can forgive you. God can conquer that guilt. He can give you peace and joy. You don't have to be burdened down with guilt of your wasted, shameful life of years gone by. Oh, thank God. When it's under the blood, it's forgiven. It's blotted out. It'll never be remembered again. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to live under guilt from sins of the past. Thirdly, when we turn to Jesus, our sins will be blotted out of heaven's book. Our sins will be blotted out of heaven's book. Now, let me tell you, forgiveness is one thing. But to have them retained in heaven's book where they can always be brought back against us is something else. But not in Christianity. Not when a lost sinner comes to Jesus. God says He not only forgives them, He blots them out of His book. He'll never remember them again. Listen to me, Christian. You know that old sin of the past that you've asked God to forgive you for? And the devil keeps dragging it up and beating you over the head? God can't even remember it. Don't let sin that God no longer remembers because it's forgiven and blotted out to be used by the devil as a stumbling stone in your life. Our sins are blotted out of heaven's book when we turn to Jesus. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Isaiah 43:25, God said, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. When we turn to Jesus, we can be assured that our sins will be forgiven. Our guilt will be conquered. Our sins will be blotted out of heaven's book. When we turn to Jesus, we can be assured that our name will be written in the book of life. Luke 10:20 says, "Notwithstanding in this rejoice, not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Let me tell you, the most wonderful event that ever happened in my life was when I got saved. A hell-deserving sinner was forgiven. My sins were paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and by His suffering and dying. I was declared righteous because the one that died for me arose again from the dead. God has blotted them all out of His book and out of His mind and will never remember them again. Then He said that we're to rejoice because our name's written in the book. Talking about the book of God, the blood-bought book, the book of the redeemed, the book of the saved. Is your name there? He said, you want to rejoice. Don't rejoice about $1 million. Don't rejoice about winning lottery. God forbid that you play that thing. Don't rejoice about this or that. Rejoice about your name being in the book of God, the book of heaven. When we turn to Jesus, our fear and dread of eternity is gone forever. I ask people all the time, if you died today, do you know you'd go to heaven or would you go to hell? See, that's kind of straightforward. Yeah, it is. I love to see the reaction. I really do. I get on an elevator and I'll say, is your last trip going to be up or down? They say, well, I'm going to be on this thing several times today. I said, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about when you die. I like to see their reaction. You see, I hear people say all the time, I don't want to talk about eternity. I don't want to go there and think about dying. You know why? Because fear and dread and condemnation of sin and an eternal hell is waiting for them. But oh, when you turn to Jesus Christ as Savior, He saves us. He blots out our sin. He forgives us. He writes our name in His book. We're no longer under condemnation. We have been justified, redeemed. And the guilt and fear and eternity without God is gone. And like Paul, we can say, for to me to live in Christ, but to die is gain. Because I get to go home to be with Jesus. Secondly, or thirdly, If you want to be so happy you can't explain it, you must not only turn to Jesus as Savior, you must yield to His will for your life. Now, getting saved is wonderful. But there's a lot of saved people that are still miserable because they've stopped there. They have ignored the fact that God who created them and God who saved them has a will and a purpose for their life. And they're living their life for themselves. They're doing what they want to do only with no thought to what God wants them to do. So if we're going to be so happy we can't explain it, we must not only turn to Jesus, Savior, but we must yield to Him and His will for our life. In verse number 14 of this same chapter, 1 Peter chapter 1, he says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I want to major on that as obedient children. You're never going to know and enjoy that joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're never going to be so happy you don't know how to explain it if you get saved and stop. I thank God for everybody who's saved, but I think there's something wrong with a person that wants to use Jesus only as a fire escape from hell. When God has a wonderful plan and will for our life after we get saved. If you're going to be so happy you don't know how to explain it, you're going to have to not only get saved, but you're going to have to yield to His will for your life. Most Christians have just enough Christianity to make them miserable because they're still doing things their way, by their own will, and are fighting against God's will for them. In the very beginning, God did not make man to do only what man wants to do. Neither did He save us so we can live our life the way we want to live it. We were created and we were redeemed to do God's will and bring glory to His name. My dear friend, your search in life as a Christian ought to be in search of the will of God and then do it. Do it. There are multiple things that is the common will of God for every Christian. Then outside of those many things that are common among all of us, if we're walking in God's will, God has a specific plan and purpose and will for your life. And if you want to step into the realm of joy unspeakable and full of glory, get out of your will and get into His will. Quit living for you and start living for Him. Quit trying to please you as your number one goal in life and start trying to please Him. But Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, real life in Christ is not given to us for leisure and fun only, although there's plenty of that. But God has given us life in Christ so we can learn and grow and produce for the glory of God. Here is where we find our real purpose and joy. Jesus said it a different way in John 15, 16 when He tells us that we're to bear Him fruit. The most miserable people in the world are Christians who are living their life outside of the purpose and the will of God. Others are miserable because they don't know God's will at all. Let me tell you something. You don't have to know God's perfect will for your life to yield to it. Why don't you just say, God, That's the place I want to be. I don't know all that you want to do with me yet, but I want to dedicate my life to you. And I want to yield to your will. Doesn't matter what it is, here am I, Lord. Use me. When you're saved and you've surrendered to God's will and you're serving God in the revealed will for your life, you'll have a peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory in spite of your circumstances. Paul demonstrated that in his letter to the Philippians when he is in prison awaiting execution. He wrote to them and said, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Again I say, rejoice. And then lastly, why should any person be willing to live a life without joy, peace, and happiness when God's made it available to us all? You say, but you don't know my circumstances. Doesn't matter. You don't know my God. I'm here to tell you, God is bigger than your circumstances. You're not the first person that has gone through heartaches. You're not the first person that has lost a mate. You're not the first person that has lost a child. You're not the first person that's faced bankruptcy. But I'm here to tell you, God is bigger. He's greater than our circumstances. And we need to turn to Him and put our confidence in Him and learn to walk in His will. Temporary fun is a poor substitute for God's joy unspeakable and full of glory. No one has to live without it. You can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory, but you must turn to Jesus as Savior. And then you've got to make Him Lord of your life. That means you're going to live according to His will and for His glory. This joy unspeakable and full of glory comes only when a Christian yields to the revealed will of God and follows Him. Dear people, why settle for the devil's gift-wrapped garbage when you can come to Christ and obey Him and enjoy peace and joy unspeakable and full of glory? You can have something in your heart going on that's so wonderful, you can't explain it. But not without Jesus. And not without a right relationship in His will for your life. Father, that's our message. Speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we know there's a lot of heartache and burdens and pain.